we have this wonderful declaration by the Apostle Paul, where he's seizing on the words of David in Psalm 8 there. But this is a marvelous a word that's spoken by him, and it's as we've spoken before. You know, this is what he's actually doing here is he's addressing those who have been letting things slip. He's actually talking. He says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, lest at any time we should let them slip." I'll just tell you, this is the New Covenant way of ministering to this, but it's not the only way. Now we want to be clear that there were some of the most solemn warnings in all of Scripture are in this epistle. And here I want to just say, and I think it's appropriate to even say at the Lord's table that this when we talk about solemn warnings, they are meant to be taken just as they stand. They're not meant to be taken, to be watered down or to be mitigated or to be compromised. See, this is a great salvation that came at great expense to the Father and the Son. And so, this for men to water down and soften these very stern warnings of Scripture, is just, I'll tell you, they're going to give an account for this in the day of judgment. We want to let them stand. We want to let them minister just as they stand. This is a great salvation. Mm-hmm. There are things that are in the Scripture that are spoken, to minister great consolation, but there's things that are that also minister this fear and this knowledge of the Lord. See, now they're both essential. They're even both essential at the Lord's table. See, this is a serious time when we come together. This is not just a time when we fulfill our weekly obligation. How they say it in the Catholic Church. Our daily obligation or whatever that. We're not fulfilling an obligation. See, this is a time where we come to meet the Lord, where we come to think about His sufferings in our behalf. So, I want us to think about, he said, one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, and crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus," right? Yeah. "Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death." We really do see him. We see him. We see him by faith. See, we see him in the sense that God has made provision for us to see him. We do in truth see him. We see him crowned with glory and honor, and God is and he is one of us. See, he is the one. He has actually entered in. See now in the connection with this dominion. See that actually God has purposed for us. See now, so one, we are bone of his bone, and we are flesh of his flesh. See, and he is abiding in us, and we're abiding in him, and he is. And he has gone in before us. He's gone in, taken the throne before us, and he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, in this, I want to just touch on something at the end of this Hebrew chapter 2 in with regard to the reconciliation. And this is good for us to think about as well. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, right at the end, he talks about reconciliation in connection with the purging of the conscience. Now, in Romans chapter 4 and 5, he talks about reconciliation in connection with justification. He's talking about the foundation for reconciliation. See, he has reconciled us to God by the death of his Son, right? That's not the end of the matter. That's the foundation. See, God has laid the foundation for this reconciliation to God. See, so, and it's important that we see this. See, now, but here now he talks about reconciliation from this other perspective. He says, wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. It's, you know, it's good when men can come up to this level where those are the only things that matter, right? The things that are pertaining to God. See, all the other stuff is just incidental stuff. It's stuff that's going to pass away. But this Jesus is ministering in things pertaining to God. But listen to this: to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. See, now this is not reconciliation in the sense of Romans chapter 5. See, this is in chapter 4. This is reconciliation. This reconciliation is this it's an ongoing work. It has to do with the purging of the conscience. See, and this is a provision that God has made. It's a substantive provision that God has made in the gospel of his beloved Son. See, not only to have a foundation for reconciliation, but to actually have reconciliation. We're actually reconciled to God in our understanding. We're reconciled to God in our hearts. See, we're reconciled to God in our conscience. See, where our conscience has been purged to serve the living God. We actually are, by the grace of God, we've been brought into agreement with Him. Can you see that? So here we're, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross, see, He accomplished this, the foundational aspect of this reconciliation, but here at the right hand of God, see, now this is an ongoing work on his part, our great high priest. He's taking what he accomplished at the cross, and now he's bringing it to bear in the present time. See, and so when you confess your sins, and you sense, Father, you've cleansed me, and you have forgiven me my sins and cleansed me from all unrighteousness. This is not just by contract. This is not like a heavenly contract or like an insurance policy. This actually is the ongoing work of the great high priest. See, he actually is coming near to us. See, and he's actually ministering the effectuality of his death, of his sufferings and death to us as we live and walk by faith in the Son of God. Can you everybody see that? How that this, see, it really, really wouldn't be much, we wouldn't really have much to boast about. This wouldn't be really a great salvation apart from the work of our great high priest. See, he lives. Of him as witness that he liveth. He is alive. See, that's the scripture testifies that he is alive. Our great high priest is alive. See, and he continueth ever. See, he continueth ever, and he has an unchangeable priesthood.
Amen.
An unchanging priesthood and an unchangeable priesthood. See, so as we come to the Lord's table, let's think about this abundant provision that God has made in salvation, in the death of his beloved Son, and also in this application of his death to our hearts that he makes in the present time as we live and walk by faith in the Son of God. Heavenly Father, we commit this time of remembrance to thee. We ask thy blessing upon each one of us as we partake of the cup and the loaf. And we ask thy blessing upon the cup and the loaf, Lord, and in remembrance of him who died for us, Lord, that we might live in and through him. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.